This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story's worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I am Bob Hassan with my friend Sean Bowles. Sean, are we doing anything interesting today?
Well, it sounds like you almost forgot my name. We haven't seen each other in 2 weeks. We haven't talked to each other and you almost forgot me. No, yeah, we're doing something so interesting today. Today on the show, we're going to talk about, this is a big one. I didn't know this was a big one though, but loneliness and how 1 in 5 Christians are feeling lonely at work, according to Christian Crossroads. And NPR just published a report, and the career workplaces are the huge contributors to an anti-relational environment that's contributing to loneliness in 33% of the population right now. It's pretty sad, but I'm so glad that we have something good to talk about, because Jesus, I mean, he holds the heart of the lonely so strongly, which is so profound. Then we have Kelsey Kemp, and she was on here before. She's a career coach, and she's turning her business into something brand new, and I can't wait for you to hear about how God's leading her, because it's quite a journey from where we heard her last time on the show to now.
Yeah. Wow. That's so exciting. We've got some listener feedback. We have kind of a long one from John Furland, 5972. I've been a longtime listener. Can't tell you how much this podcast has impacted my life. When I started listening to it 2 years ago, God began to give me a hunger for more in my life. These business talks began to be more appetizing and filling than much more normal voices from the church I normally listen to. I really began to sense a transition was coming and that business was in my destiny.
Wow.
And after receiving a word from God about it just months ago, I've moved into a new career as a web developer and client management. I don't know if the story will reach you both, but I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for providing a platform for people to be inspired in their walk with the Lord and inspired in their workplace. Please continue. That's so cool.
That's why we do this, you guys. I'm so glad you wrote us. Thank you for telling us, because that's why we're doing this. So you guys can get exposed to what God's doing in these very real places and then have that kind of courage to recreate your whole life with God. And I just think it's so beautiful. And so I like that fills my whole tank up.
That's so right, Sean. That's exactly why we do this. And you can write into us at bowlesministries.com. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on our socials, on Instagram, and give us a direct message. We love hearing from you.
Well, in our talk, Bob, we have a real talk coming up right now. And loneliness, I didn't think we'd be talking about loneliness as far as one of our real talks, as far as what career people, entrepreneurs deal with. But I do know in the church that 80% of pastors struggle with loneliness. And that was a new statistic by the Barna. I didn't know that 1 in 5 Christians in the workplace and secular careers are experiencing this as one of their top struggles. And that's crazy. Yeah. Most work environments, you know, have been may not be hostile to their values of faith, but they definitely don't always have the same reflection of them. And we've had this question through the years. I've actually seen it 3 or 4 times. I'm lonely at work. What do I do? But I just never thought of it as being one of the main things until we've got it so many times and I read this report. So, Bob, is there a good answer?
I think there's a lot of answers, Sean. And I think, you know, you and I could brainstorm and come up with, you know, a number of them. But first is being, to me, is being in a community, either with your church or at home, and having, you know, friendships and family relationships where you're getting fed. Because even though we spend so much time at work, we still have those key relationships that we can rely on. And then I think about in the workplace, you know, in the book I wrote, Business of Honor, I talk a lot about culture, building culture. And some people think that the culture has to come down from the top, which it does.
Yeah.
And if you work for a company who has a culture that is isolationist or isolated or lonely, you're going to have a tendency to be lonely. But the good news is no matter if you're in the C-suites or if you're an entry-level position, you have the ability as a Christian to create your own culture, whatever department you're in. And so you can build a culture that defeats loneliness by who you are. I know that we've just come out of COVID, where a lot of people work from home. Still, people are struggling working from home. And I understand the isolation and loneliness there. So That's just kind of a first blush answer to this question, Sean.
You know, 33% of culture, according to NPR, is lonely right now. This is post-COVID. This is years later. People are still dealing with loneliness. I feel like one of the things that Jesus does is he sets the lonely in family. That's what the Bible says. God sets the lonely in family. And I feel like when there's a loneliness in the culture at work, maybe at work, you're actually on duty with God to be a light, to be the culture setter that you're saying, to be the encourager. And so you do have to have a community outside of it. It's not always necessarily Sunday morning is going to fill that up for you. I like what you said, Bob, where it's like, set yourself into a family, like really find a family. Mm-hmm. And what I love about what's happening in this kind of iteration of people working is there's a lot of these small groups and even online small groups and entrepreneur groups and career focus groups that are people who pray for each other online. I know Shay Bynes has been on here. She has, you know, the entrepreneur group that she does. We've had like probably 8 people on here, different groups. Full Gospel Businessmen was the epitome of this back in the 70s and 60s. And there's groups emerging again, even at local churches where it's like career driven groups. And the purpose isn't just to talk. The purpose is actually to support each other. So I feel like part of what we have to take responsibility for, even though it's a lot of work, is to actually build relationships with Christians outside of our career and workplace who might also be career driven in their world, and let that be our community. So when we go to work, we can be a light. And so when the manager asks us to do something else and everybody there is lonely, 33% of them are lonely at least, people are burned out, people are overworked, all the different things, that we've actually come up above that culture and we're now a contributor back into what God wants, regardless of how the company culture is. So I know it sounds like good theory, but practice, if you don't get into that family or that church, I mean, I know like church has sustained me for decades. I've been planted in local church. And there's times that I'm like, I didn't even like doing ministry stuff for certain years of my life years ago. You know, I've been in for 30 years. I went through like a three-year period where I wasn't even enjoying ministry. But because I had core relationships with Christians who carried my heart and I carried their heart, and we had fun together, we could do life together, it didn't matter. Like I wasn't looking for the people in my ministry to be my friends to sustain me. I was looking for that community that I built around my life and my family. So I do think that there's kind of a almost a disassociation that we have to have from feeling like we're supposed to be fulfilled relationally at work and actually going as somebody who's, you know, it's the person who's looking for the benefactor versus someone who says, I'm going to be a benefactor.
I'm going to be a benefactor. Exactly. I'm going to pour out. I, you know, going to what you were just saying, we are a part of a church plant that's going to be 3 years old this summer. And very early in, young people will keep coming up and asking me, like, can you mentor me? Can you talk to me about my business? And I have a lot of hats. I couldn't do it. And I started to get frustrated. And then I thought, well, I'll just start a group, which I did with Pastor Zach. We started this business accelerator and we just invited anybody who was in business or who were entrepreneurs. And the main goal wasn't for me to talk about what I see in the market. The main goal was to put them at tables and get them talking to each other to realize, hey, there's other people in business, in entrepreneurship, who are having the same struggle you are. Get acquainted with each other and recognize that there's people who you can lean on. They might not be in your certain market, but they do understand the struggle. And so I love that, Sean, what you just said.
Yeah, so there's no easy, quick fix, but walking with God, we get a different result. So I'm glad it was already a different result. It's a 1 out of every 5 instead of 1 out of every 3. But I think we need to get that number even lower in the sense of like, man, God wants to help the lonely. It's one of the reasons Jesus was lonely at times. And we could see how he walked it out. Even with the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's looking for a prayer team to pray with him because he was going to face his worst day.
Yeah.
But he looked at God and he still had fulfillment in who God was in him, even when the natural failed him. He still had that connection. And I feel like that's what I want is even sometimes I'm not going to look at man to be my full kind of connector. Like God is so good that I'm never alone, that he's always fighting. He's always my advocate. And so I think if we can get to that place where that's real, it's not just on paper, it's not just the Bible in words, but it's actually in our truth and in the way we experience life, that's going to change it for a lot of people. So that's kind of my final thoughts.
That's amazing. You mentioned the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, 38. He says, like, I'm overwhelmed. And then he says, stay here and keep watch with me. And he's lonely and they can't.
When you look at the words, it actually says, I am lonely and overwhelmed in the original Aramaic. Like he actually says, I'm lonely. And how could he be lonely? He had his best friends around him, but they weren't meeting his need. They weren't like ministering to his heart. And he also, even when he shared in the upper room, they didn't really get it. So like he couldn't have been clearer, but they didn't get it. So I think you're right. Like there is moments in our life where we truly are alone except God. Yeah. And if he's real to us, we have that oil in our lamps to go, it's a dark night, but man, I still have a candle lit. You know, like he's still here. Well, we have an incredible question of the week this week. And it's kind of a long question, but I think this is perfect for you, Bob, because she wrote from on our Exploring the Marketplace, or she wrote on Bowles Ministries website, which you can write your question on Bowles Ministries website or leave it in just under one of the videos on YouTube. And we'll be screening through those videos as well. She said, I would appreciate your input on leveraging charitable giving for marketing purposes. My husband and I lead a small but highly successful real estate team and give at least 11% of our net business proceeds to charity, often significantly more. I lean towards the give in secret approach for most of our business giving, but also understand that many people like myself appreciate partnering with charitable businesses. I owe it to my team members to promote them in the best light, yet I struggle with the right approach. The discussion has come up multiple times in meetings on the balance between trusting God and promoting and being honest with our clients and community about how much we give. Would love your thoughts.
You know, that's amazing. I too run a business, and you know, we have a robust charitable giving program, and I have a balance of both. Sometimes, you know, people who we work with will be doing like a run for cancer or a run for breast cancer, or they have, you know, diabetes things, and they're asking for charitable, you know, gifts. And generally on those, we do those anonymous, but on some of the bigger efforts, sometimes we're supporting, let's say, a golf tournament that is a larger effort, and we'll put our logo on the banner. Now our logo is one of maybe 20 other logos for other companies that are helping. And so I think a balance of both. There's the anonymous giving. My wife and I, on a personal level, really embrace the anonymous giving. But on a corporate level, I think you have to just watch your heart to make sure that charitable giving doesn't become your marketing plan. And yeah. And when that happens, then you sort of lose the fun of giving, because we think giving is fun. We love generosity. And I think this is a beautiful question. I think you could, like being the risk manager that I am, you say you give 11% or more. Well, designate half of it to be, you know, 5.5% to be anonymous and 5.5% to have your logo on it, and see what God does with it. And then you can adjust.
And I don't have any problem at all, because I think we live in a social justice generation. People want to feel like they're giving or partnering to companies that actually have a purpose and actually have, like, they don't just make money, but they help the community or they help out. So I have no problem when companies say, you know, 10% of all of our funds are going to a mixture of charities. I think that's not braggadocious. I don't think that's unhealthy. I think it's actually a signal to people to say, we care about our community. We care about families, we care about what, even if it's a specific cause, like we care about human trafficking or children at risk, whatever. I think that's fine. I think it's when it gets into, that's how you lead everything with. Like, I think people should be able to discover that about you, like in your corporate, maybe about us on your website or whatever. Like, we believe in generosity as one of our core tenets. And so we give, you know, we try and give between 5% and 12% away every year to whatever. I don't think that should ever not be there. I think it's great. But when it comes to, you know, when it's that thing where Jesus is like, some people are just trying to give in the public eye so that they can get kind of favor from it or credit from it. That's when you look at, how are we living our lives though? Mm-hmm. Because like, you guys are some of the most generous people we know, Bob, personally. And I've known a lot of people. I don't know that I've ever known people as generous as you guys. And no one would really know that except for the people you've been generous to. But your corporation, we know that it's generous. Like, everybody would know that your corporation is generous because of how it's partnered to so many different things. But you personally, like the fact that on top of that, you guys are extremely generous. I think it's great that not everybody knows that, other than when someone like me says that. I think it's great that like, you're known in part in that area.
You know, and in our corporation, we don't have a statement that says we give profits, but I love going to the social justice side. I love companies that do that. It's like, oh, I want to do this too, because they have a social justice mentality. So
there's, I do it for like restaurants and stuff. Like, I look at restaurants here locally because we're new here, or plumbers. And when they have it on there, it does make me want to work with them more, like hire them more or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that is so awesome. Thank you for the question, Keisha. Who do we have for our guest today?
We have a returning guest, Kelsey Kemp, and you don't have to have heard her first story to have to get a lot out of this. You're going to get so much out of this because so much has happened in her life. And she is someone who you and I both respect. She's young. She hears from God. She is an ex-tech consultant turned multi-time founder, career coach, TEDx speaker, and podcaster based in Austin, Texas, one of the greatest cities on the earth. She started her first company at 16 selling custom dancewear products for ballet dancers. She was almost professional and she had a career-ending injury, but she was selling this in 7 countries, 31 states, and 5 major retailers. But she founded her second company, which is what she works on now, the Called Career, at 24 in 2018, which has since helped hundreds of Christians specifically discern their calling and land jobs that align with their faith. So her latest venture, which is what I want to talk about today, I'm so excited about it, is a job dictionary, is an education platform showing students the 95% of jobs they've never heard of so they can make informed and authentic career choices without having to waste thousands on a major they wouldn't use years from now. So up next is Kelsey. Are you ready to take your spiritual growth journey even more seriously, all while being involved in an active and engaged community online? Well, we have classes, activation groups, online Discord community, and a 12-month spiritual growth discipleship accelerator that I get to lead. They're going to help you embrace subjects like hearing God's voice, being empowered every day by the real gifts of the Holy Spirit, and developing your spiritual disciplines in a way that's both practical and very practiced. And I've invited expert ministers in all kinds of subjects alongside myself to teach you for 4 weeks classes each month. And if the subject that they're teaching each month isn't effective or is not relevant to the phase of your spiritual growth, we also take past classes and have our pastoral team facilitate totally different subjects for 4 weeks so you have multiple class options on subjects that matter to you. I can't wait to spend 2 accelerator hours a month with you as I get to activate you, pour into you, and mentor you in practicing hearing God's voice. By the end of these 12 months together, I know you're going to have confidence in your own ability to trust God and yourself and actively speak to you. Come join us in Spiritual Growth Academy. It's going to be one of the greatest decisions you've ever made.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Kelsey Kemp. Kelsey, we're so happy to have you.
Well, I'm so happy to be with y'all. Even when we were just praying right before this, I'm like, y'all are just the kind of people that pray big, think big, and don't let people off the hook with challenging them. So it's always an honor to be in your presence.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love what you're doing. I love that you're young doing it, but I mean, you're not super young, but you're young, which is amazing. Or what you're building, and you're getting some strategies, I think, that are from God. One of the reasons why we wanted to have you back on so quickly after our last episode, because it was only last year, was just because we wanted to show how much God's done him, how he's been leading you in a certain direction over a business, over some church programs, and just in your own life. And so we want to start out with just, where have you been since we last talked to you?
Some places I didn't expect. So I think it's so funny, this concept of last time we talked about, obviously, what is a huge part of my life and profession, which is career discernment through being a career coach and helping people as best as possible see, God, where are you calling me and how can I step into that? But also, strategy is a little overrated because sometimes God just surprises you with, like, this is what we're doing now. Right. And you could not have foreseen it. So with what you were kind of mentioning about the new things that I'm up to, when I got the opportunity to do a TEDx talk last year, I thought, great, God, the linear plan is happening, just like I thought. Yeah. Like, this is going to be so great for continuing in my identity as a career coach. And I've learned to be a lot more flexible because it turns out that the rest of that afternoon after the talk happened and in the morning, all I could think about was, it almost seems like what I thought, like what I was talking about in my talk was how to get better career ideas and then be bold in letting yourself have a 5-year experiment of looking like an idiot, doing whatever's necessary to make it happen.
Yeah.
But actually, I almost had this zoom out moment where I was like, I think people, it's not so much about knowing like how to make the best decisions. I think people just need more raw data to work with and in what jobs are out there. So in the exact same day, without talking to each other, one of my best friends and I had the exact same vision for what I was supposed to do next, which was create this online library of all the jobs that people don't know about. Because throughout my time in these 6 years since starting the Called Career, where I help Christians discern their calling and practically land a job that's aligned with it, I realized so much, like people really are smart. Wow. And often more bold than you give them credit, but they just don't know what options are out there. So I started thinking, oh, I really have to build this for my clients. I have to start showing them like, oh, did you know like a cuddle therapist is a thing? Did you know that?
That's Bob's least favorite ever job he would ever do in his entire life.
It takes all sorts of people to make the world go round. Bob.
Yeah. Here's my cuddle therapy is like this.
Get away.
You're like, you go cuddle with that teddy bear. I'll be over here.
That makes sense. And that's part of what I love, that, you know, there's so many jobs that we're designed to hate. And then there's a few that you're going to think are amazing and other people will hate them. Yeah, so yeah, true. I started just collecting this as, oh, I need to do this like for free for the people I'm already serving. And then I realized, oh, no, I think that this is a separate business. Lo and behold, in the last 16 months, I've pretty much devoted as much as possible. Most of my professional focus has been on launching Job Dictionary, or what became Job Dictionary, which at first I was like, Lord, I thought I was only ever serving Christians. I thought that's what you made me to do. But now I just realize, oh, this is for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's a bit about what's been going on. And now it launches.
You got to describe it though. She does have to describe it before going to the story, because when you told me about Job Dictionary, I just started thinking when I was 15, 16 years old, and friends who have been 19, 20 years old, and then half or 40% of the career market out there right now are considering leaving their careers for a new career. And I love what you said, that most people don't know what's available. So like, talk about Job Dictionary before we get into it, just because I think it was brilliant, because I think people need to be able to read through jobs. And my daughter said, I'm going to be a marine biologist. And then a zookeeper said, don't be a marine biologist, just be an animal biologist, because then you can work in any animal field. But marine biologist is too, you know, too very, very niche, and it's not needed in a lot of places. So like, he's like giving her advice, but you never would hear that advice unless you talk to somebody, except for that you're starting this.
Exactly. Oh, this is the perfect example. So if your daughter just went on to Google, as I'm sure that she was already doing, she's like getting all this validation for, no, marine biologist seems fine. What she really needed was to hear from the mouth of an expert. What you don't know is there's some nuance here that you're not going to find on Google. Like, definitively not. And that is what freaks me out so much, that there's all of this insider knowledge. There's org charts. There's all these specialties and niches. Like, if you think you want to be a marketer, actually that could mean 1,000 different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And somebody who's been in that for 10 years knows, but somebody who's trying to get an entry level position does not. And they'll likely end up in some kind of analyst position as an SEO, like search marketer, when really they wanted to be a UX designer and they didn't know the difference. So Job Dictionary is the solution with that, to list out all of these different career paths and not just give you a blog post about here's the average median salary, here are the tasks that they spend the majority of their day doing, here's the market outlook for this career trajectory. The Bureau of Labor and Statistics projects growth for all these different industries. But most crucially, here is an interview with a person who has been sitting in this seat for a long time, who will tell you the ins and outs, and as well as giving users advanced search and filtering capabilities that aren't available on LinkedIn. So it's very much catered, honestly, right now towards Gen Z. So you'll see careers filtered by vibe. Chill. Ambitious. Like, there's so many different ways. My team and I have had a lot of fun putting this together.
Wow.
Kelsey, it's amazing that God opened this up to you, considering last time we were talking where you were at. And how did you hear him kind of prompting you? I know you said that you had a conversation with one of your friends. And what does it mean in the trajectory of kind of where you see yourself going? What I guess what I'm really asking is, how can people out there who are listening and watching figure out from your experience how you heard God and how you moved in this direction?
Mm-hmm. The first thing I would say, it comes from two sides of the equation. One was realizing that there is an unmet need that bothers me, that it's unmet. Like, it really, really bothers me that most people seem to select a major that they ultimately feel like, oh, well, at least I had 4 years to grow up, but I didn't use supply chain management in my case. And it's not like college is everything. On the contrary. But I would like younger people to feel like they are more resourced, and it's any age, really. And so I had a burden for that. I realized, oh yeah, that should exist. That's a lot of my career decisions have just come from seeing a problem and saying that should be fixed. But then the second side of the equation, that was most uncomfortable. The first part was exciting and fun. The second part felt like death, was that I started to feel, I hate saying this, a large discontentment with how I was currently spending my time on a ton of individual career coaching Zoom sessions every week. I started getting this big itch that turned into an ache. That was a sense that I now know that I've spent years as best as possible learning how to master helping just one person at a time. But I now know that I could be spending my time on a different problem. And I think that there's other people that are more fresh and more prepared and more delighted to spend their time in this way than I am. And that was so uncomfortable, because I thought I had so many limiting beliefs around, oh, the cult career, it's kind of been built around me, which it's perfect that God destroyed that, because that's kind of gross. And then I started to think, oh gosh, okay, this means I have to hire some other people. Mm-hmm. And that's so uncomfortable. And build up the cult career in a different scalable way. But as soon as I let those other tasks go, it's been like rocket fuel. Like, everything has felt in alignment. I felt so excited. New opportunities have come. But I kind of had to lighten the load first. And that's similar to how it felt when I made my first big career shift. Of, I didn't build up the cult career on the side while I was in my corporate job. Like, it seems that would be the perfect thing to do. Like, oh, when isn't it smartest if you could do that? I felt God saying, you actually just have to fully let this go. And even if it means you have to clean houses to pay the bills, you need to lighten your load so that you could have mental, spiritual space for the new stuff to come. And then all the great stuff only comes after I let my old identity go.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I was having a conversation with someone last week, and they're in transition, and he called it a holy discontentment. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really funny, because he, in a mature way, said, I hated my job for the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. But instead of saying that, he called it holy discontentment, and which is kind of hearing you say.
I'm very grateful that that term is getting out there now, because especially being a younger person, I wanted to be extremely cautious that it wasn't just brattiness with zero holiness involved. Mm-hmm. I think that it was easier for me to assume that I needed to be skeptical of my feelings. You know, facts don't care about your feelings. The heart is deceitful above all else, all of that. But there's a difference. There's when you have, it's not just, oh, I hate this, but I have a craving to use my time in a more fruitful way.
Right.
That should probably tell you something that it's okay.
Yeah, that, I mean, you're coaching people all the time, or you were at that point, especially. So, like, I'm sure there's times that you help people to come to terms with those types of things too. So then to have that come on you and to have to be obedient to actually change and allow you, you know, allow yourself to not spend as much time coaching so you can develop something else. I'm sure it was a risky thing, but you're kind of a risky person from what we can take. I want to kind of dive into some of the, what have been some of the challenges since you've hired some people on to do the career coaching and keep that going, the podcast that you have going on, then also starting this website, because you have to figure out how to monetize it and the whole business model behind it, which I'm sure is going to have an incredible business model, because every college is going to want to be able to sponsor or be there. You know, it's like, it's just, if you do it right, it feels like it's going to be just such a great on-ramp financially as far as when it happens. But what are some of the challenges so far in like kind of expanding and then also going into a whole new market?
I'm so glad to talk about this, because I don't want people to get it mixed up that it's very easy to make this all sound exciting and great. And I choose to focus on how it is. But behind the scenes, I could definitely understand why people do not choose this challenge.
Yeah.
Here's what it looks like for me specifically. A year of not taking personal income. Mm-hmm. I would have to build this much slower if I were single. I just got married 6 months ago. So that is a blessing that the Lord has afforded me. I'm so grateful that my husband has agreed with me to live leaner and to not have to have a large income requirement coming from me toward our family unit. I'm so grateful for that. By the way, if anybody's single, the first business definitely did happen while I was single, so don't be discouraged. You don't need a husband all the time. But that is like a blessing for this season. But I have been so humbled and so insecure, and I have to talk with him about this a lot, that it's so weird for me to just take all of the income that I was getting from the Call to Career after doing payroll every month and all of that, and just giving it to the new thing that is not currently making money. It's pre-revenue, pre-launch. It's all speculative. It's all risk in faith. I don't really think it's not making a risk, but that's because I'm an optimist. But that has been so uncomfortable. It's required a different identity shift, because it's such delayed gratification. It's not, again, that I think I shared this in my, this was a large theme in my first big career shift from tech consulting into entrepreneurship. It requires a dissociation from money, because I have decided to not take outside funds, because one thing that I felt the Lord has made very clear and the people in my life have validated, that this is the kind of business that you would raise venture capital for, but you're not the kind of person with the kind of calling that is, it's appropriate to get a lot of influence from investors. You need to protect the freedom to be nimble in listening to the Lord and doing what he says. So it's hard. I don't really, honestly, I don't feel like it's hard, because God has given me a special grace for that. I do experience some stress of the financial pinch of it all. But again, like, the Lord is so gracious. He gives us a special grace for the challenges that he also assigns to us. I feel like he's made me into the kind of person that's only excited about what's to come. And I'm getting paid in that. I'm getting paid in just joy.
Wow.
Yeah. I think what I hear on a deeper level is that you are relying on a human being, your husband, where you've spent, you know, your life relying on yourself. And so there's a trust factor with the Lord. He says, you know, don't lean on to your own understanding. He'll direct your paths. But part of that is relying on someone, which is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've got a great husband, and that, you know, you're able to talk this through with him. But part of the entrepreneurial life is you know, relying on people to help you get to a goal. And I hear that in you right now in this early stage.
Bob, always crushing it with your keen perception of what is true. I really feel that.
Well, we have a few more minutes. I wanted to talk about something that we didn't get to talk about the last time we interviewed you. And it's a subject that's dear to my heart, which is the issue in this generation of ADD or ADHD. Mm-hmm. I grew up with ADD or ADHD. Mm-hmm. And my one of my daughters is diagnosed with it. And it's so interesting because my mom heard from God to do a different process with me than they would normally do, like clinically, to help. Because it was pretty severe for me up until I was like 14. And then I went through puberty and a lot of it changed because of that. And I think that God healed some of the patterns that were caused from it. And then also I just think, you know, growing up, that some of the things that are in my calling, that it changed some of me. But there's also some strengths from it that came in where I can multitask at a different level. I feel like I'm spinning so many plates in my spirit and my brain all the time that I could actually keep track of, that even relationally, like the things that it's caused me to have a different capacity. And so I know for you personally that there's been a journey with ADD. So let's talk about that, some of how that played into, you know, you're helping people in a really broad way. But a lot of times people come to the table and they have what the world would call a disability, mm-hmm. and God can use it, or it could really be a disability for them. Not everybody has a happy story with all the different things, mm-hmm. but it could be this or something else. Talk about that journey.
This is one of just trusting that God made me intentionally, and that I felt such a miracle in my life when he turned that around, of growing up being pulled out of the first grade at the recommendation of my teacher and the psychologist that my parents were sent to. I did multiple days of testing and they're like, ta-da, she's like 97th percentile ADD, is totally not learning in the classroom, so distracted, this isn't working. And my parents were so gracious to do backflips, just like the psychologist recommended, and homeschool me for the next 10 years.
Wow.
Because that's what I needed to thrive, apparently. God bless them. And I was so grateful, but I, even through college and early adulthood, I had this nagging sense that I was deeply flawed and stupid. Like, why do I have to, like in college, I would have to study. I got very good grades, but it's just because I got over the fact that I did need to study twice as long as my peers. That really, really frustrated me. And even in my corporate job, I thought, really the only thing I'm bringing to the table is this insatiable sense that I don't want to look dumb, so I'm going to work really hard. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't in the right place, and all it did was feed the lie that because I had attention deficit disorder, I'm just not going to be able to focus. I'm not going to be as productive as other people. Life is going to be harder for me. I'm going to forget things. And once... this is where God enters. He guided me to realize that, hey, Kelsey, you are able to focus on a few things. It's just the things that you find interesting and meaningful. And your brain shuts off and says, this is a waste of time, when I perceive that we're just doing this to check a box, or which largely is the educational experience. And it's not that you're stupid. It's just that maybe you're being smart, because you're like, what's the point of all this? None? Yeah. All right. and of course, it's not none in the education system, but that was kind of where my brain was taking it. And so once I felt the permission that it's not bratty to focus on the things that time disappears as you work on it, it's actually faithful. Because... you, like, what are you supposed to spend your time on? What you're bad at and hate doing? Mm-hmm. And so once I made the career change into something that I genuinely enjoyed, what I've seen in the years since is I'm unrecognizable to my old self. Mm-hmm. I felt so encouraged all the time. My friends, I do a lot of co-working with friends, and they'll say, Kelsey's the focus one in the group. Like, I have no struggle. I do not associate with attention deficit disorder whatsoever. You can't stop me from doing the things that I really feel called to do. And it seems like your children who resonate with this as well have also, I hope that there's this shift now in the narrative that you're not broken. You just have a different set of abilities. Right. And I'm my hope in bridging this conversation is to encourage people to be very careful about not owning the label of this is a disability, and you will forever have a problem with focus. You might just need to do a little bit more finagling to make sure you're swimming in the right pond.
Yeah. That's so good. I just think of the teachers that told me, Sean, you'll never be able to focus.
Nah.
I don't have a problem with focusing when it's something that I'm called to or people that I love. When it's things I'm not called to and people I don't love, unfortunately, I do have a problem with focusing. But when it's when I'm my mission at hand, I'm, you know, I go after. So I love that you're saying that, because there's a certain way that God's wired us. I think in heaven we're going to understand and go, oh, okay, some of that was you. Not the whole, you know, where the neurology can be seen incorrectly, but some of this was God. And I think that's going to be really profound. So I so appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing that.
Yeah, it's a special grace that you're not able to thrive in environments that are wrong for you. It would be much worse if you were able to thrive in environments that were definitely the wrong thing to stay in.
Yeah, and some people can, which is really sad.
Yeah.
Well, Kelsey, this has been, of course, we're out of time. We have to have you on again. But how do people get a hold of everything you're doing? And what do we look for Job Dictionary? And just tell us that part.
Yeah, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm sharing updates over there. For The Called Career, you could connect with me at thecalledcareer.com. That's where LinkedIn and Instagram and my podcast are also on that website. So you could find everything there. And that's for people who are Christians wanting to find and land a job that they feel called to, or even start a business. If you purely just want the benefit of finding out about the 95% of jobs you might not have heard of or seriously considered, but maybe you should, you could go to jobdictionary.com. And I'm so proud and excited of it.
About it.
Yeah, we're so excited too. It's just such a tool that everybody needs. And all of us have 5 family members that need that site right now to explore. Thanks for sharing your story. It's just it's just so bright. Every time you share, it's just so bright. It's so illuminating to people. And you're so articulate, and I hope more TED Talks happen. Well, that's the end of another Exploring the Marketplace podcast, where we bring everyday people who are seeing their faith affect their career in powerful ways. Make sure to hit like on this video, hit the subscribe button and notifications so you don't miss an episode. Also, I want to hear from you, so let's talk in the comment section. See you next time.